Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids, going to cons is our.
Hey, everybody, and welcome once again to Thinking Outside the Long Box with the Long Box Guys. My name is Tom Strange, and with me are the rest of the Long Box Guys. First off, we got Tom Boucher. Tommy, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I am just drinking some water tonight because I'm kind of tired and not feeling that great.
Sorry to hear that. Barely hear that. Josh, how are you doing, and what are you drinking tonight?
This evening, I'm drinking a new local brewery's beer. They're called Startline Brewing, because that's where it's in Hopkinton, Massachusetts, where the Boston Marathon starts. It's their chocolate stout, and of course, I have graced it with a shot of cold brew coffee.
Well, that sounds delicious. Speaking of the Boston Marathon, my wife, Dr. Elena Strange, that's right, Dr. Strange, will be running in that very soon. Exciting. Mikey, how are you doing, and what are you drinking? And please tell me you're not drinking another dead partner.
Good news, I am doing awesome, and I'm not drinking another dead partner because we started about a half hour later than normal, so I've already finished my dead partner.
You finished off your dead partner. That's terrifying. Continuing along with our theme about all things green, because it's almost spring, we're going to be talking about Swamp Thing and Man Thing. Now, Josh, why don't you start us off, because I believe your character came first by just a little bit.
Did he? Man Thing?
Yep.
Huh.
Mike, do you want to tell him why?
So Len Wein had written a Man Thing story, but Marvel didn't want it. So when he jumped ship over to DC Comics, he brought the story with him, and they said, all right, fine, make it into something else. And he created the Swamp Thing.
Oh, that's interesting. I did not know that. I've really just picked up the most recent incarnation of Man Thing, where... He is, he's a chemist, and he's designed another version of the super soldier formula. And the folks who want to capture the formula show up at his woodsy cottage with his girlfriend in tow. Why she's out there while he's inventing super soldier formulas, we'll never know. They bust in, they shoot the place up, and of course he just barely gets away, gets into his car. He's got the formula with him, already conveniently placed into a hypodermic needle, and drives wildly through the swamp being chased by, I'm going to say, terrorists, because there are guys with guns who have no dialogue.
Racist.
But they're scary.
Man-Thing has a driver's license?
Well, he's not Man-Thing yet.
Oh, okay.
He's just the guy who invented the formula. And then he drives wildly through the swamp being chased. And, of course, they shoot out his tires. His car flies off the road and plummets into some random body of water in the swamp and starts sinking to the bottom. His girlfriend has been shot. She's already dead, and he doesn't have any other way out. So, of course, he takes his own formula. But there in the midst of ugly swampiness, his now superhuman abilities somehow merge with the mighty muck of the bottom of the lake, and he becomes Man-Thing and crawls out. Crushes the guys in their cars, and then wanders off. And that's sort of the first origin story. But then it flips forward to him basically wandering through Los Angeles because he's been trying to get a contract as a TV personality, as a superhero. But they reject him because they decide he doesn't have enough... He isn't pretty enough for the screen, and he's too scary, and he didn't test well. So he's all upset, and he basically just starts wandering around Los Angeles looking for answers as to why he is now stuck in this hideous body as the Mighty Man Thing. It's a very odd start to the new series, but somehow I want to see what happens. I really want to read the next one.
I really think the Man Thing should have married a Kardashian.
I mean, he could have done that. That's one direction he could have gone in. Maybe Jenner. I mean, really, really shake things up, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my my take on the current Man-Thing. I don't have it handy, so I can't tell you either who the artist or the writer is, but I'm sure we can look it up and say it later in the podcast. But it's a well, go ahead.
I believe that's being written by R.L. Stine, the guy who wrote all the Goosebump stories.
Oh, is it? I mean, I enjoyed the first issue, and it was bizarre. It's not your typical take, but I do want to see what's going to happen next.
All right, so that's enough about the Man Thing. Now let's talk a little bit about the Swamp Thing. Mikey?
Well, as I said, Len Wein is the creator of the Swamp Thing, along with Bernie Wrightson, who just recently passed away about a week ago. If you don't know who Bernie Wrightson is, do yourself a favor and go on Google and do an image search. He is one of the greatest horror comic book artists of all time. Again, Len Wein pitched the idea. They said, go for it. They put it in as a story in the House of Secrets number 92 back in 1971. It was very successful. A lot of people gave feedback saying they liked it, so DC gave the green light to start their own Swamp Thing comic book. And again, this was also going to be a Wein and Wrightson story. They instead updated it because their original story was set in the early 20th century. Now they set it in the 1970s. And the basic premise is Alex Holland is a scientist who has created an awesome formula. And then bad guys come because they want his formula. He gets chased out into the swamp, dies in the swamp. It's later revealed in the 1980s series that actually, Alex Holland did not become the Swamp Thing. Alex Holland died, but the Swamp Thing was already there and absorbed Alex Holland's personality and thought he was Alex Holland. This all gets updated because of the second volume, like I said, in the 1980s, when a British author named Alan Moore takes over. He puts a really adult spin onto the comic that it had never had before, and as a result, it becomes the first mainstream comic book series that had abandoned the comic book code authority. And this was a precursor to what would later become the Vertigo series. Swamp Thing has emerged into what is called a plant elemental and is guarding the green. And also has developed a huge mythology over the years, being one of the more popular horror-driven characters of DC Comics.
So these two origins are...
Justice League Dark.
Yes, he does.
Nice.
Yeah. These two origins are very similar. Does everyone agree with that?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so let's make it even more confusing. There's a third character that predates both of these guys, and his name is The Heap. And the reason that DC and Marvel decided not to sue each other is because they knew they'd just get the hell sued out of them by, I think it's called Astonishing Atlas Comics, that created The Heap. The Heap was a World War II fighter pilot whose plane crashes into the swamp. And he has such a force of will that he refuses to die. And his body starts becoming one with the vegetation around him, and he becomes an elemental force of the swamp, meeting out justice and protecting the environment. Sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it sounds pretty familiar. Plus, he had the long nose of the Man Thing. So they all look alike, of course, all three of them. Sorry to seem elementalist there. Hey, I know, elementalist, I'm sorry. But the Heap looks a little bit more like the Man Thing in his iterations. And also, I'm sorry, I think I said World War II. He was a World War I German pilot. He comes back during World War II, and he doesn't like Nazis, and he doesn't like what's happening in Germany, so he starts fighting Nazis, which is always a good move. You know, quite frankly, I think.
Yeah, I hear the Heap used to fight the Stack a lot, but the Heap could grow really big, and if the Stack tried to do the same thing, he would just overflow. Only your wife's going to get that joke.
My wife will totally get
right now. That's hilarious. It's hilarious.
That is a deep computer science joke, and it's her birthday, so I will tell it to her.
That's right. Play that back.
Does anyone have a favorite storyline or story arc that they followed, Tom?
So I really like the Alan Moore Saga of the Swamp thing that Mikey kind of alluded to. I really liked it. The origin story was very similar to the origin story from that movie that was made back in the late 70s, early 80s, The Swamp Thing, which I enjoyed, even though it was a little campy by today's standards. And I really liked the idea that this other kind of green character, Florian, was studying him and using the Swamp Thing to get in touch with the green and try to control the green, and I really enjoyed that story. Yes, Tom.
You mentioned the movie there, Tom. Did you like the TV show? I loved the TV show as a kid.
I never saw the TV show, but I watched
it. Mike, did you see it?
Half a dozen times.
I never saw the TV show, but as a matter of fact, last week I watched the movie just to bone up on the Swamp Thing, and I got to tell you, it holds up. Wes Craven wrote and directed it. It was pretty darn good.
There's only one good line in that entire movie. Swamp Thing is carrying the beautiful girl. Who is the girl, Mike? I can't remember her name.
Adrienne Barbeau.
And they make some kind of weird sexual reference, and he goes, "But I'm just a plant." And she goes, "It's okay. I'm a vegetarian." That's one good line. There's one good line in the entire movie, and I masturbated to that line furiously dozens of times. It was kind of a dead time before porn on the internet.
So you posted on our Twitter account the public service announcement from Greenpeace. Did you notice who was starring as the Swamp Thing in that PSA?
No, who is that?
That is Bruce Campbell.
That is not Bruce Campbell.
I dare you, sir, to rewatch it and not look at the chin on the Swamp Thing, and I assure you that
I am 99.999% certain that that is a fellow by the name of Rob something, and he's the guy that actually played the Swamp Thing, and he looks like Bruce Campbell.
Oh, all right, that could be it.
I think his name is Rob Campbell. Conway. I'll take a look at that during one of the other sections. But you're right, he looks like him, but that's the guy that played Swamp Thing in the TV show. And the reason that PSA was made was because the TV show was starting to air, and they wanted to make a PSA to get a free commercial on.
And as we all know, Mikey is right because he edits the podcast. Because if he's wrong,
right,
he'll take it out.
You'll edit that whole part out. Josh, I know you're not a big Swamp or Man-Thing fan. Was there one that you liked?
No, like I was mentioning in the beginning, Mike, you're right. It is R.L. Stine writing the five-issue miniseries for Man-Thing, and they're having a different artist for every issue. It started with German Peralta, I believe. But, I've never really checked out a lot of the Swamp Things. It wasn't something I read. I do vaguely remember the movie. It must have been like a creature double feature. What year was that? Like early 80s, 83? Anyone?
It was somewhere around there.
It was early.
Yeah. It seemed like the era of like tape and glue costumes or special effects. I was guessing early 80s, but...
It was a while back.
82. There was definitely a lot of rubber in that suit.
Definitely a lot. So much that the young lady enjoyed it. So, I always kind of like the concept. I've always thought that both of them had such similar power profiles, even like the empathy and the powers beyond just being the giant bulks of plant. But never really read them, and I wasn't a big Vertigo fan except for really Books of Magic.
All right, Mikey, well, what was your favorite run?
LT stole mine. I loved the Alan Moore run on the Saga of the Swamp Thing. I thought it was a throwback to the old EC horror comics, and it was really well done.
Well, it really was a throwback to those old EC horror comics in a lot of ways. Now, Josh and I have a weird love for Power Records. And my favorite run for the, I think it was the Man Thing. Yeah, it was the Man Thing, was The Day the Laughter Died, which you can, I'll post a link to it. You can see it being read from Power Records. It was one of those read-along records with a comic book in it, and the Swamp Thing saves a... well, he doesn't save. He finds a circus clown who has died in the swamp, and he kind of uncovers the mystery, as he often did, about how the person dies. It's a stupid little one, and it's just, you know, a total one-shot story. But I really enjoyed it, and I must have listened to the thing a dozen times. But for modern iterations, I really enjoy Doctor Strange's run going on right now. The Swamp Thing comes to him. And it was in a really terrible time. You know, Doctor Strange was at low power. He was having a bad day. He was in a terrible mood. And the Swamp Thing would not leave him alone. He pulls him to another dimension to fight. Mikey, you got something to say about this run?
You keep on calling Man Thing Swamp Thing.
I'm going to keep doing that. I'm sorry. You're right. So Swamp Thing... No, Man Thing. Man Thing. Every time I do that, by the way, everyone take a drink. Man Thing grabs Doctor Strange, pulls him into an alternate reality where there are robot Nazis running around, and they spend 24 hours killing robot zombie Nazis. And Doctor Strange is like, you know, why'd you do this? And Swamp Thing kind of looks at him. He doesn't really. Man Thing looks at him. He doesn't really say anything, but. He gets goes, was this just to cheer me up? Guess you'll not. So it's a great little bit of nothing, but I enjoyed it tremendously. Any last words on Swamp Thing and or Man Thing, who I really cannot keep in my head? It's weird to me that the Swamp Thing that looks more man-like is called Swamp Thing, and the Man Thing that is more swamp-like is called Man Thing. Anybody get that line of thought?
We understand.
Nah, I'm with you.
All right.
Man Thing starts with an M. Marvel.
Okay.
Marvel's Marvelous Man Thing. You can't go Marvelous Swamp Thing because there's not enough alliteration.
Yeah, Swamp Thing isn't part of the Nexus and can't do teleportation, can he? Only Man Thing can.
Swamp Thing is connected to the green, and so anywhere there's a plant, he can emerge.
All right, and... Man Thing from Marvel is connected to the Nexus, and he can teleport pretty much anywhere that the Nexus touches, which is everything.
Once again, proving these characters really are the same.
The profile is pretty clear and pretty close. All right. If no one has any last words, let's go to the front of the long box, because Mike, I'm dying to hear what you got.
Well, before I go into the front of the long box, I would like to thank the folks over at Collective Con in Jacksonville who let us come over there for on a press pass this past weekend. If you ever get a chance to go to Collective Con, it is a very small con, but they do it really well, and everybody there is super excited to be around. All of their guests that they had were excellent, and I got the most amazing Stiltman drawing by Bob Layton. When I went over to ask him to draw it, he did a double take when I said I wanted a Stilt Man, and when I came back to pick it up, he's like, you know what, I'm just having too much fun drawing Stilt Man. You're the first person to ever ask me to draw that, and I'm including Marvel editors. So I'm just really enjoying this. Come back in another 20 minutes, I'll be done. And it was awesome. So thank you, Bob Layton. Now, at the front of the long box this week, I'm going to have another throwback. Back when I was a kid, Brian Tierney and I loved the Hardy Boys. And so we would read Hardy Boy mysteries, and then we would go out and play. We called ourselves the Parker Brothers because we liked board games. But we would pretend that we were brothers and were solving mysteries. And that brings me to today's front of the long box that I'm going to recommend. It's by Dynamite Comics. It's Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, The Big Lie. It just started this month. It is a reimagining of the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew. It is set in Bayport, and there's a dark underside to this coastal resort town. Frank and Joe are suspected of murdering their father, who is a disgraced detective in this scenario. And it looks like Nancy Drew is on the case along with Frank and Joe. So it's, a, like I said, a very dark take on it. But if you, as a kid, enjoyed reading The Hardy Boys, you should really check it out.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun, actually. Tommy, what you got at the back of the long box?
I have EXO Man of War Volume 1, Into the Fire. This reprints the EXO Man of War Valiant comic from 1992-96. If you're not familiar with EXO Man of War, it is a story of a lonely Visigoth, Eric of Dacia. He is kidnapped by spider aliens, and he is taken away, and he escapes from the spider aliens, takes their one sacred piece of technology, the EXO armor that is their ultimate weapon, and he uses it against them and becomes one of the most powerful people on Earth by donning the EXO armor. And he goes on a rampage, killing off spider aliens wherever he can because he hates them so much, and helping people whenever he can, etc. and so forth. And it's a great little series. It's one of the, I think, one of the better Valiant series from the 90s. And most of the Valiant comics from back then were pretty decent, and I recommend it.
EXO Man of War, created by Bob Layton.
Exactly.
All comes back around. You know, you mentioned Dynamite Comics. They haven't had a misfire in my book yet. Can anyone name a Dynamite misfire?
This is actually Valiant.
No, I was talking back to Mikey. He was talking about Dynamite a second ago. Yeah, I can't think of a single misfire. Dynamite's been just knocking out. You know, Valiant's great too, but I can think of a couple misfires on Valiant's side. In my opinion, including EXO. I just don't like that comic book.
I was going to say, some of the Shadow stuff has just been okay. It hasn't been, like, knock it out of the park. But for the overall, Dynamite really has done a really good job most of the titles that I've read.
All right. Well, for my little part on social justice, I just wanted to talk about that PSA that Mike alluded to. I kind of missed the time when these cheesy PSAs would air all over the place. These public service announcements would tell you, don't do drugs. And it would be like Keith Richards, of all things. That's actually out there. Go look it up, guys. So I'm going to be posting, instead of doing a whole section here, I'm going to post a couple of the odder PSAs that I have found so you guys can take a look at some of the odd public service announcements ranging anywhere from Don't Litter, which is the one that I found from Swamp Thing. By the way, that character's name who played him was Dick Durock. That's Dick, D-I-C-K, Durock, D-U-R-O-C-K. R-O-C-K. Mike, look him up and tell me if you don't think he looks a hell of a lot like Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, that's not
looking
real
at
name.
His photo right
that's
now.
That can't be that guy's real name.
Dick Durock is my porn name when I do pornography in the Flintstone universe. Come on, that's a good porn name for the Flintstones.
Speaking of the Flintstones, this month a crossover with the Flintstones and Booster Gold.
What? Are you kidding me?
I am not. They're having crossovers with the Hanna-Barbera characters are meeting the DC Universe characters. The Martian Manhunter is going to fight Marvin the Martian.
Please, oh, please let Bam Bam just crush Skeets.
No one likes Skeets. He's the Jar Jar Binks of DC Comics.
And yet Skeets is so important to the character.
Banana Splits and the Suicide Squad. That's all I'm going to say.
Da, da, who is that acid? Da, da, da. That is so random. That's almost a tangent in and of itself, but it's not, because I know my good friend Josh is going to take us on one. Josh, take us on a tangent, will you?
Well, we are talking about the green in all of DC and Marvel. So I would just say, first off, if you don't have a national parks passport, go get one, you lazy son of a bitch. And then, hey, what's your favorite national park?
Tom, what is the one that we drove through?
That was Yellowstone. The one where there was a bear? Yeah. One where there was a bear that was bigger than our car?
Yeah, with a picnic basket? Yeah. Freaking scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Freaking bear just standing there with a picnic basket. Like, no bodies around. Like, what happened to the bodies, bear? He's like, I don't know.
Do you know what was in that picnic basket?
I don't. I thought you were going to be like the head of Ranger Jones. You're like, what's in the basket? Boo-Boo's all like, what's in the basket?
What's in the basket?
Damn. Skeets.
Is it Ranger Jones? Was that right?
I can't
Ranger
remember.
Smith.
Ranger Smith.
And I would love to see somebody out there do a cartoon remake of Seven instead of with Yogi and Boo-Boo instead of Brad Pitt.
What's in the basket?
What do you think of that picnic basket?
What's in the basket? I don't know. If an alien ship comes down, Yogi, I don't want you to react at all. You understand me? I remember a lot of that movie. Jesus.
Okay, somebody answer the question. National Park. Mike got Yellowstone.
Yeah.
I like Joshua Tree. I thought Joshua Tree was really, really cool.
I drove a scooter through the Grand Canyon, and I was in awe the entire time. Not only because I thought I was going to die multiple times, but it is... it's something. It's really something to see. I think everyone should take a chance and feel small in the universe. And not only look down into the canyon, but look up into that beautiful sky. So besmirched by light pollution. Besmirched, look it up. Josh, you didn't say yours, did you?
It's got the big cliff face. It's,
Oh, big cliff face, McPark face. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, yeah. Stop it.
What's the name of the park where you and three friends conspire to murder a dog? What park was that, Josh?
That was White Mountain National Park. I'm talking about, not Yosemite. I don't know. I'm just losing it. I give up.
I as well you should be.
To my own question.
All right, well, Josh has given up, so we're going to go with a new section today. What's up with the Long Box Legion? Tommy, what's up with the Long Box Legion?
We have listener mail. This is mail from Alex. Dear Long Box guys, longtime listener, first-time writer, as most people are. I write for three reasons. First, I want to thank you guys for providing such great entertainment. Secondly, I wanted to request a new mini segment for the show. When making the rounds through everyone about the topic of the episode, I would like to hear just a cool factor snippet that I can use to brag to friends with. So I think today we kind of covered it with the heap a little bit, kind of a little bit, maybe.
Do we know how old Alex is?
He did not indicate how old he is. But Mike supposedly knows.
Because I'll give him some stuff to brag to his friends about.
Anything as simple as a did-you-know fact, obscure storyline, or a little-known background information. Lastly, I write to give Tom a run for his money in this month's giveaway. We've already done that giveaway, unfortunately. P.S. LT has the best sign-off phrase.
Well played.
So, well played, LT. Who picks the letters?
And
great letter,
and I think
Alex.
He might have doctored.
We loved it.
He might have doctored that letter.
I did not doctor that letter at all.
Sure. Does anyone have a cool little mini factoid? I think the heap does kind of cover it. Anything else?
Well, I mean, Wes Craven did write and direct the movie adaptation of The Swamp Thing.
That's another good one.
The terrorist group that was after Man-Thing was Ye Olde Classic AIM, Advanced
Idea Mechanics. I was going to say, yeah. Advanced Idea Mechanics. Everyone's favorite punching bag. Outside of zombies and Nazis and robots, everyone liked to punch AIM in the face.
AIM has been successfully defeated by Roberto Da Costa from the formerly of the New Mutants. Do you know how he beat AIM?
No.
He bought him out.
He had the money.
He now runs AIM. He has a bunch of mad scientists working for him, and he's putting their mad science skills to use for the general good.
Speaking of Roberto Da Costa, I finally did see Logan. Spoiler alert, nice Roberto DaCosta might be in it.
So
everyone loved it.
We can talk about it?
We can talk about it now. It was great. I love seeing a grown-up version of Caliban. That was kind of cool. I knew it was Caliban like right off the bat, but why does Caliban have an English accent? He grew up in New York sewers.
He's a very refined New York sewer. The New York sewers basically has tea time, 4 o'clock, every day, right on time. Never miss it. So, you know, just an affectation.
Okay. Who was the first guy to die in that movie? Because I kind of think I know who it was, but I'm not sure. Does anyone know?
The first guy to die?
He was one of the stupid, they threw his head. Dealers.
The Hispanic gang members in the opening credits?
Oh, no, not the Hispanic. I was thinking of the first Reaver to die.
Oh, no. But if you, that's an important thing. They never mention the name the Reavers, but the Reavers are essential to the whole X-Men mythology, and they were created because of Wolverine.
Yeah, I think they call them bangers in this or something stupid.
No, I think they say Reavers once, don't they?
They may have, but if you're not an X-Men fan, you're not going to pick that up.
Well, we knew, Well, we knew.
Yeah, I just love the issue where Forge turns his leg into a sniper rifle and starts picking off the Reavers from distance. Favorite
nice.
Forge moment ever.
No, but not your favorite thing that ever happened to a Reaver. What's your favorite thing that ever happened to a Reaver?
I don't know. What was my favorite thing that ever happened to a Reaver? This sounds like a riddle.
Make friends with your god, little man, for you are next.
That was not the Reaver.
Well, that was they were working with the Reavers, weren't they?
The Marauders.
You're right. By the way, they actually do call these guys by their Reaver names, including Pretty Boy and Bonebreaker. Yeah. I'm looking at the IMDb for you.
They don't look anything like the Reavers from the comics, but yes, they use a couple of the layover names.
Yeah, I kind of thought that the first guy to die was Brian Bosworth. I'm looking at IMDb and it's not. But it really looked like him to me. You know the big guy with the mohawk? Or not the mohawk, the big bald-headed guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought for sure that was Brian Bosworth. Looked just like him to me. Thought for sure. I'm dumb. It's okay if I'm dumb. I'm dumb. What's Brian Bosworth up to?
I think the beauty of Wolverine is, depending on how old you are, you watch a different movie. If you're young, you're looking at it from the kid's point of view, trying to find a family. If you're in your 20s or 30s or so, you look at it as, okay, there's a father-daughter story that we're watching. And if you're a little bit older and have older parents, then you're looking at it from, okay, this is a movie about a guy with an aging parent who, or if you're even older, hey, this is me losing my mind.
And if you're a comic book fan, you're looking at it saying, hey, how come they didn't bag and board those issues?
You know, there was one thing that bothered me a little bit, and that was they referred to an issue that happened as if Professor X had killed a lot of people. What do they call it? The
Westchester incident.
The incident.
They call it the Westchester incident. That seems a little too close to what actually starts Civil War out. What was that called? It was called something very much like that, and I thought that was a little lazy on their part to have something, you know, to have those two things so close.
What you're referring to on the Civil War side.
When the bus explodes, when Nitro explodes and kills all those kids and all the children, they call it the Something Town incident.
I didn't have a problem with that. I think the best part of it is it looks like Xavier may have been the one who killed the X-Men, that Wolverine.
Xavier might have. Oh, I think now that that's cool that you said that, because I kind of think that Xavier had, like, the, you know, something happened and he accidentally made Wolverine kill all the X-Men.
No, I think it was exactly the same thing that happened in Vegas. He just lost control of his powers and killed everybody.
Six X-Men died, right? So killed six of them. Yeah, I agree with Mike on that. I think it was just Wolverine survived, he was there because he was more resistant to it than other people, and it was just his first and very long attack until they started medicating him when it got even, you know, quote unquote, under control, but even still had minor tremors and whatnot. But I think the first big one wiped out probably a bunch of normal people and six of the X-Men apparently.
Yeah, the only reason I kind of think that he drove Logan insane to kill people was because at one point he says, "Logan, what did you do?" But of course, that could just be him, you know, with the deteriorating mental faculties.
In the Old Man Logan series, the idea behind it was the villains teamed up, and Mysterio, the Spider-Man villain, actually made Wolverine think that they were all the enemies of the X-Men, and Wolverine killed the X-Men. I thought it was going to be an Old Man Logan-esque story, which is along the lines of Unforgiven, but this they really totally changed that around in this. The only thing that I saw similar to Old Man Logan is that he's an old man, and his powers have slowed down, his healing powers. That's the only real similarity. But it's amazing for a comic book movie, because most comic book movies, you never have a third act in a comic book because there's always next month to put out another issue. So unless it's an independent comic, DC and Marvel hardly ever have those third act stories. So it was great that they decided to give Wolverine and Professor X a third act.
That was called, by the way, the Stamford Incident. That's the one that starts off Civil War, where that bus explodes and all those kids are killed. So I just thought they were just a little too similar for my taste.
Yeah, and speaking of Unforgiven, Mike, for those anybody out there who hasn't seen this and love samurai movies, Ken Watanabe does a Japanese remake of Unforgiven called Yudu Sari Zarumono. And you have to buy it off European Amazon. You can't get it in the U.S., but it's an amazing remake.
Huh. Well, LT.
Someone on this podcast still has my copy of it.
I do.
LT, if Alex is in the running to win this month's giveaway, what is this month's giveaway?
He is in the running to win Morning Glories, Volume 1, which is a fantastic book. Written by Nick.
Now, we're on Skype, so we can see what you're doing, but our readers can't. So I'm just going to let everyone know that what LT is doing right now, he's looking back at his collection and seeing what he has doubles of, I think, to make sure we know what we're giving away. But Morning Glories is a great, great book.
I am looking at the stack of giveaways is what I'm looking at.
It's funnier my way, Dick.
It is funnier your way.
Funnier my way.
And Mike will edit out however he sees fit.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. Let's let that all stand.
So all right. How does somebody write in to win this month's giveaway?
They write into luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com, where it will go into an email address where we will all pick the winner. Randomly out of all of the emails that are written in. So people should write in, let us know how we're doing, what they like about the podcast, what we could be doing better, and suggest things for the future. So, for example, this month we're trying to cover some eco-friendly things since Earth Day is in April and it's spring. So if people have suggestions about eco-friendly storylines or characters that they'd like us to talk about, they could write into Lucky Bastard and we might talk about them.
Unless they ask for Captain Planet. We're not doing Captain Planet.
I saw a guy cosplaying as Kwame from Captain Planet this weekend.
Did you kick the shit out of that guy?
No, life is doing that already.
That is the greatest thing you've ever said in your life. And I was there at your wedding when you said I do. That was 1,000 times better.
It was for my wife.
All right, so that brings us to the section where we do plugs. Who's got some stuff to plug? I have something to plug right off the bat, which is our Twitter page, which is @TheLongBoxGuys. Did I get that right?
You did. And I got to say, you have been on fire with some of the posts that you've had lately on Twitter. Not just the PSA for Swamp Thing, but Linda Carter singing "It's All Part of My Rock and Roll Fantasy." I can't tell you how many times I stroked off to that video.
That is the craziest video. I found that on YouTube, and it's just nuts. What do you think about that one, Josh?
No, I like that video, but I do have to say that the NOLA Nerd Couple tweeted out our latest podcast before you did.
Really?
Yeah.
I was so busy.
And I was like, oh, look at that. They retweeted. Nope, that's them just tweeting. Those bastards beat Tom to it.
I usually wait till bastards. Monday.
Who beat you to it?
Yeah, it usually goes out Monday. I usually wait till Monday to put it up to get a nice fresh start to the week. I think it went up on Sunday. I think the Nolan Neer couple did beat us to it. We love those guys, though. Can't say anything bad about them. They're so sweet. And thanks for the compliment. Thanks for the compliment, Mike. I do work hard on that Twitter account.
And we should also thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music. You can check out their music at KirbyCracklemusic.com or check them out on iTunes or Bandcamp.
And while we're talking about music, I would like to plug Mark Schwaber. You can find his music at MarkSchwaberBandcamp.com. That's S-C-H-W-A-B-E-R. He just came out with a new album, White Flood, and it is great. And also, I would like to plug IanLino.com.
IanLino.com?
IanLino.com.
I love their t-shirts.
That's right. IanLeino.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things, including some wonderful stained glass prints and all your geeky needs.
Also, we just started. Go ahead, Josh. Sorry.
I'm going to give a shout out to my friendly neighborhood comic book shop. Don't forget, on April 14th, you can meet Sasha Banks there. That's a Friday afternoon at 3:30. I think they're limiting it to 300 people. So I think you can sign up on Facebook. It's Friendly Neighborhood Comics in Bellingham, Massachusetts. And hey, that place is clean.
Yeah, and if you go there, tell Sasha Banks that she got her start at Chaotic World Wrestling, not Chaotic Wrestling. Let's keep the record straight. She first wrestled there under our banner, for God's sakes. Chaotic World Wrestling. Keep the world in there.
Yeah. That was wrong on Wikipedia, but hey, it's Wikipedia. I changed it.
Damn right you did.
I would like to plug Michelle Altenkirk. She is an artist. I got a couple of great prints from her. One was a phenomenal Wonder Woman fighting a Medusa. You can check out her artwork at Michelle with only one L, Altenkirch, Altenkirch, carbonmade.com. I will post a link to it on our website, outsidethelongbox.com. If you want to go check out her artwork, I would recommend it. And we have an interview this week. I interviewed the owner and operator of a nonprofit group called Suit Up for Kids. It's a nonprofit organization that helps kids and adults with terminal diseases meet their favorite heroes and also provides funding for them to get treatment. Let's listen to this interview. Hey, this is Mike from the Long Box Guys, and I am at CollectiveCon 2017 in Jacksonville, and I am talking to the founder of a nonprofit.
Cool. So I'm Catherine Carizzi. I run Suit Up for Kids, a nonprofit organization, and we are largely based out of volunteer cosplayers. We are all volunteer. I literally put in 90% of the funds to do everything to get these kids to conventions, make their own custom cosplays, so to bring more recognition and visuals to these kids, to bring attention to them, to help raise funds for their treatments. We also cover things like a Thanksgiving meal, dinner. You know, this family wasn't going to get that, so we made a post, let's make this happen. Christmas, birthdays, these families are already going through medical treatments and spending all their money on this cost, and they can't get the basic necessities. We try to help cover that. A lot of the things, like I said, volunteer cosplay base. So I can reach out to these cosplayers last minute and get them to do hospital visits, or we do also non-terminal kids as well. My organization is ages 1 to 100. I made it so it doesn't exclude people. A lot of other organizations have a lot of restrictions, and that's why I made this organization. There's also, you know, people that are adults that are mental ages of six-year-olds. You know, why do they not get help after they've turned a certain age? I think that's ridiculous. One of our kids was 2 years old. He's now three, but he wasn't covered by Make-A-Wish. Well, yes, I'm name-dropping. Because he was 2 years old. He was under the age restriction. He was going in for his third heart surgery. He had 50-50 chance of survival, and he loved Spider-Man. I reached out, found him a Spider-Man within a week, got him to go visit him. Amazon primed him a Spider-Man costume. This Spider-Man not only hanged out with him, crawled on the floor, but he also, like, helped him put on the costume. It was so adorable. Made this kid's day. And actually, just last weekend, I was in Lexington, Kentucky, because he couldn't fly anywhere to a convention, but they can drive. So we got to make his wish come true and meet some Power Rangers. So, you know, just doing these kind of things, reaching out to the community. I do have a lot of Power Ranger pictures on my page because these actors, like Austin St. John, they actually support Suit Up for Kids. They've met a lot of the kids. They sign stuff for my kids. They help spread the word. One of them is actually getting them to treatment for one of our kids, Kai, who has inoperable brain tumors. So it's all out-of-pocket cost. He's literally flying Kai and his mom to a person to go get treated out of his own pocket. Who else does that?
That is phenomenal.
So, yes, we do have a nonprofit status, and we also have we filed with Florida Agriculture. I'm pretty much the only one that does all the paperwork, so have a lot of paperwork still to do before tax season is over. you know, do need help with everything. Like, I don't have a website built yet, but I have someone starting on that. Graphic designs, we have some graphic people helping out here and there, but because it's all volunteer-based, I can only get, you know, what people will give. So definitely need more help all the time on any kind of, you know, skills you have, either communicating to other conventions in your area to get us in so we can go spread the word. If you know kids, you know, have them like the page, have the parents message us. To get into hospitals, usually the parents have to come to us first. There's a lot of restrictions. We can't go and ask who's a fan of what. We can't do that. The parents have to contact us and say, hey, we like this. Can you come visit us? Yes, we will.
And how can people find your organization if you don't have a website?
We have we have all the social media pages. So Suit Up for Kids on Facebook, Suit Up the number 4 Kids on Instagram and Twitter. You can message us on any of those. And I also have an email, suitup4kids@gmail.com, and that's spelled out. So you can look up any of those and contact us through that. Like I said, my name is Catherine Karizny. I run the organization. And you can, if you find me at any other convention or you remember Suit Up for Kids, Google it. It's out there. You will find the page. Message me and I will reach out and try to do my best.
Well, thank you very much. You're doing awesome work.
Thank you for having me.
Now, there was one thing I didn't quite get from that. Now, you said this helps get funding for the treatment?
Yes. If the parents can't afford the treatment, they do fundraisers for the kids.
Oh, so it's not the cosplayers getting treated for their addiction to cosplay.
No, that's a totally separate nonprofit.
All right, because I should get some bucks for that myself, because my addiction runs pretty deep. That sounds like a great charity, a great organization. Give me all that information. I'll make sure it goes up on the Twitter page at some point.
Yes, and I've volunteered us all to be cosplayers for kids who need it. I told them that if they needed a Power Man or Iron Fist, that you and Josh would be up for it. If she needs a Martian Manhunter, I'm her guy. And if she needs somebody to dress really comfortably, it's LT.
What about Batroc the Leaper? Surely someone's dream is to meet Batroc the Leaper.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you all not know at me, you sons of bitches. Batroc the Leaper is awesome. And also, maybe take me off the list for Luke Cage. I mean, I love dressing as Luke Cage, but how disappointed is some young man or woman going to be when I show up dressed as Luke Cage? I mean, Josh, you're a passable Iron Fist. As a matter of fact, I'll say you're better. You're about as close as the guy playing Iron Fist in your costume. You look terrific.
I just got to get a Jerry curl and I'm good.
Yeah, the mask hides it. You got the good old-fashioned mask. And, by the way, your mask is as good or better than any of the costume I've seen on Iron Fist so far. That thing's just really good. Yours is great. I'm just saying. Someone back me up on this, for God's sakes.
That's
got a really nice Iron Fist costume.
Thanks, Jesus.
I got to get rid of the iron gut.
It's like pulling teeth with you sons of bitches. All right, well, that's going to do it for Inside, Outside? What? That's going to do it for the long box guys in general. All right, we're done. We're going home. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
LT!
Hey, kids.
Shut the hell up, LT! Mike, just wanted to make sure you didn't edit that out. Josh, someone came through earlier and asked if this was your sector. Is this your sector?
This is assuredly not my sector.
Thank you. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just talk about what you love. And have a great night, everybody.
A stack of lives I hardly know. Look in my mind, a window pane blurry. These clouds I have unmistakable. I always heal, but I never stop hurting. I have no past, no sense of time. No safe place here and no finish line. Has led me now to hear this is my life. Monday comes, fly to the savage land. Tuesday, rooftop battles.